replace somebody or a person got injured or the next generation. They're always going to be at a stage where they've got things to learn. But you want that when they step to that table, when they step onto that field, that they're going to show what they have and they're confident in what they have being something that they can show that people want to see, that the world will want to see. When Carlisle Best, for instance, was he couldn't get into the West Indies team. When he got in, he performed. Although I watched him at one stage when everybody was in England, all the top players were in England, and just then the West Indies had a tour of, was it India? Because there were two tours, between him and Philo, actually. And when they went up to bat, I started to wonder, you know, they're young men who didn't play league cricket, in a sense, because the leagues would hire fast bowlers, because bowlers win your matches. If you can bat, that's a bonus, in a sense. And only the test players, for instance, would get like league contracts. You know, very few would get pony contracts as batsmen, but mainly the bowlers. So I started to wonder, there's so many bowlers away in England. Who was in Barbados to be bowling at Philo and at Carlisle to prepare them to walk out and bat against Kapil Dev and Manoj Pabarkar, or bat against Gladstone Small and Philip Freighted when the ball is moving around, you know? And I just felt, you know, that something needed to be done at that stage to make sure that our next generation, the youngster, even though they're playing well in the Caribbean, that they had a chance to face the top players, the top bowlers, to make sure that they were ready in order to perform on the world stage. Because the only thing that you're going to be beaten about the likes of John Biggs and Shep Holder or whatever, who nobody's seen, and then you are going to leave then and go and play against Australia, and you've got to face Mitchell Starc and Johnson and those guys.
You're always taking a step back.
So we can prepare ourselves here a whole lot better. I don't think that we are putting the faith in doing that. You know, we can find ways to prepare our kids here. So, no, we're always going to have that. Right now, our test team is not standing out and, you know, performing anyway. So even the test players need to be preparing themselves a whole lot better to go on the world stage. So we're not in a good position right now, for sure.
Okay, I want to hear Philo's take on it, though. The same question about the difference in players that are waiting in the wings versus in the past.
I think that in my era, Doc, when you had players waiting in the wings, that the players that were up front were always aware that these players behind there are coaching us. And we had to be consistent. We had to work a bit harder to keep our places. I could look at myself and Sherwin Campbell, who played batting for Barbados about 13, 14 years, but we were consistent. And we knew that there was Adrian Griffith or Dale Richards that would be coming along, so we need to understand that we had to be consistent. Our modern-day players, they don't worry about consistency. They don't worry about the fellow behind there because they're saying, look, he's not doing as much as I am, so I will always get through. So you have a guy who is scoring 30 and a guy who is scoring 15, but the guy who is scoring 15 is the one that you expect to come and get into that team. But the guy played scoring 30, so he's not under pressure, the guy who's scoring 30 at all. All players need to understand that if you want to get a player, that you need to score runs. I can remember back on this program, Dundon Carter said, oh, I should play for West Indies. I deserve a player. Yeah, but you are not outstanding. You are just as average as all the other fellas. They're going to pick the ones that are there before. So we need all players who are on the outside of looking in, who is that one step away from getting into a Barbados team, they need to tell themselves, look, I want to prepare myself properly, even if they go outside of the BCA coaching system. Right, the Stevens has an academy that is a brilliant academy that offers all that a young player can. Invest some money in yourself and go and do some private work with Frankie. So when you do come back to BCA, you are a better player. And you know that you can hit the ground running and go into that first-class cricket with the noise, look, I back myself. Franklin is an experienced cricketer, played cricket all over the world and was very successful. First man to bring out a slower ball, not really deeply involved in Barbados cricket, but he's doing his thing to support Barbados cricket. He just said a young man is at his academy for the next couple of weeks. They ask him certain questions. So if people can see the value of a Franklin Stevenson outside of Barbados, tell me why the BCA, who have so many people employed, can't see the value of Franklin Stevenson to help bring through some of those cricketers. People like Shea Hope and them, if they have problems, should be sent to Franklin Stevenson. even if the BCA coach is accompanying them, but you go there and you do your work, you do your work strategically and get better. So I find that our fringe players are not better than the ones who are playing. And in order to get in, I believe you've got to be better than the fellow who is here. It makes no sense picking someone who is less capable than the man who's in the driving seat. So we need to get our cricketers ready. I don't know if they're being overcoached. I don't know if they need a lot more talking to get understanding of what is expected of them. But something needs to be done. The Barbados Cricket Association, they employ a lot of people. And we need to get our cricketers right. We're in the semifinals, yes. But if you look at how we've played that Super 50 competition, one would say we are lucky to qualify. But we're there. They have a semifinal against Trinidad and Tobago. A well-tuned team, but with a lot of experience. But we need to play well to beat them. So BCA needs to wake up and stop all this secrecy in our Barbados cricket and let the public know what is happening in terms of our development. We always share about the Cricket Center of Excellence. We really like to knuckle down and know what really happens in there to produce cricketers of the class and caliber that we expect when they put on those Barbados colors and walk on that field of play. And these are the things that our players need to understand. Also, to dock our club structure as well. Just to help us prepare for Barbados cricket. I don't know how much of that is happening. I don't know how many West Indian players are playing for their clubs. I would like to ask a question. You know, when last did Kemar Roach represented Maple? Does Kemar Roach come back and go into the Nets when Barbados is a wrong and help in the Nets or try to lend assistance or even go in there and bowl? Because he's the one that we look to. He's our leading fast bowler in Test match cricket. Does he go down to Kensington Oval when he's not playing for West Indies and really make a contribution and put in some work so the others can see and learn from him?
Interesting.
He comes to England and he bowls his heart out for Surrey. But does he come back to Barbados and get anything back to that Barbados cricket? And these are questions that need to be answered, because at the end of the day, Franklin Stevenson and the Malcolm Marshalls may rest in peace, and the Ezra Moses may rest in peace. The Honorable Desmond Haynes and Sir Gordon Greenwich, they used to come off an aeroplane and play club cricket.
That's true. Courtney Walsh in Jamaica. Yes.
Come off the plane. Yep. They call and say, leave my play open.
Right.
And that playing field that they're going to play on for their club, going to have about 300 people.
That's true. That's very
true. Because they want to see them. And I want to see all Test cricketers play more cricket in Barbados. The Barbados Cricket Association need to send a document, as I call it, down to Cricket West Indies, who contract these players to say, listen, when you're not playing for West Indies, you have to play club cricket. You have to give back to Barbados cricket. You came out of the system, you have to put something back into the system. And Frankie's right. Our players don't do enough. They need to push the button a bit harder to get the success. If they don't do it, we're going to continue to say, work harder, but they need to do it. Those players on the outside, though, need to work harder and push the ones at the top.
Interesting comments. All right, we're going to pause for business calls. When we come back, we're going to go to Antigua and talk to Vernon Spring. As you know, many are called, but few are chosen. We now have the semifinals, and we want to hear from him. You know, basically what was the standard like, et cetera, et cetera. If there were any players that you could keep your eyes on. But we'll do all that when we come back from our commercial break. Mason and Guest, brought to an association with our very good friends at ASFE White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASFE White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, Mason and Guest, we've got Franklin Stevenson, former Barbados, all wrong on the line. Of course, we've got Philo Wallace with us as well. And let's go now to Antigua, of course, Philo Wallace, former West Indies opening batsman, and talk to noted journalist Vernon Springer, who's been covering the CGI, of course, in terms of the... Okay, we have a bit of noise there. Hello, Vernon.
I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Yeah, but there's a lot of noise in the background. The CG Super 50. So
I think it might be coming from your end because I'm hearing you loud and clear.
Oh, all right.
Can you hear me better?
Yes. Are you moving, Vernon? Oh, you're not moving. Are you driving or something, Vernon? Because we're hearing lots of noise.
I'm here.
Okay, good. That's much better now. I know you've just parked that big SUV that you imported for $1 million. All right, Vernon, your reaction first of all to the semifinalists. I mean, you covered the Antigua leg of the CG tournament. In terms of Barbados Pride, and of course coming through along with Jamaica Scorpions, were you surprised by all this? The Leewards didn't make it.
Well, first of all, before I give my own analysis, let me extend condolences to Philip Wallace. I think you passed some information to me.
Yes, I did.
I think he might have lost someone, yes. So,
his sister, yeah.
Condolences, Philip, from Vernon's and my family. So I hope that everything works out for you. In terms of the...
Thank you very much.
United, Andrew, Franklin, and Philip. The Leewards would have started well. And you know, when you're in a competition of this nature, where you have to play at least 6 games, your first objective is to make sure that you qualify for the semifinal. And Cornwall not playing in the game at the Coolidge Cricket Ground against Jamaica, where he was rested, maybe on hindsight, when the management team maybe look back, they might maybe see that as an error. Because your first objective would be to make sure that you had a rained out game, is that you want to make sure that you qualify. You're at home, and your first objective will be to qualify. And resting Cornwall in that important game there, the Leewards lost that game. And so you realize once you've been winning and you lose your momentum, then it's hard to be able to try to see if you can just kind of pick back up that momentum again. Barring that, I think when you look at the component of the team itself of the Leeward Island team, this really would have been at least easily one of their best teams that they would have assembled for a long time, especially at home. The only person who would have been missing would have been an Azari Joseph and a Devon Thomas, who played 3 games, who is in Australia. So when you look at the composition of the team, Powell didn't fire. You had the captain who came into his own, Jamal Hamilton. I just thought that he just wasn't hungry enough. He got 91. And then the second game against Jamaica, you know, he could have made a difference even if he got 100 in that game. You know, he could be in a whole different ball game. Casey Carty fired in and got the first 100 in the early game and then started kind of fell off. So there were different sparks of people more or less coming through and doing what they had to do. There was also pressure on the Leeward Island team because people thought that this would have been the best time for the Leeward Island to win this championship based on how we were set up. But they're out. And so now we have to now look at the teams who are in the competition. The dark horse in the competition is, you really have to say, is Jamaica, who creeping through and coming through. And just like in the CPL, where you had the Jamaica Tallawas who, you know, got you into the semifinal and then won out, you never know in terms of what's going to be happening. So I think there's going to be more pressure now placed on the final 4 teams. Who's going to stand up in the final 4 is going to be critical. The wickets at the stadium, a lot of the teams I thought made a mistake and everybody was concentrating on spin. But I think if you have one or two genuine fast bowlers who are willing to go in and bend their back, I feel that you can get something out of the tracks here at the stadium. There's a young man by the name of McKenny Clark who plays for the West Indies Academy team. I think he's got a bright future and prospect ahead of him. And so I think it's going to all boil down, Andrew, to leadership. And who is going to be the best captain of the semifinal is who is going to get us get into the final. So they're going to be 4 captains, Puran, Ravman Powell, Hope, and
Johnson.
Right. So the best captain strategically and how they maneuver and use their bowlers is going to be key. And whoever batsman in the final 4, whether it is Heckmeyer, Brandon King, Hopper, whoever decides that they're going to stand up and bat for their team.
Right.
One of the things which I found at this Ovivinator Stadium, Franklin and Andrew, is that you, when you get in on the track, you have to spend some time at the Sophisticated Stadium. When you're getting, you got to cash in. And I find that a lot of the battles are getting in, because even if you look at the game against the Leeward Islands and Barbados, Shai Hope got in and then got out at a crucial time.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you if you're in, you got to be able to make sure that you take your team across the line. So I know Puan and Hetmeyer and some of the battles were here. It's about time enough now that somebody stand up and really get a good big score, not just 100, but 140-something, and take their team that would make a respectable score. Anybody who gets 300, Andrew, 280, 300, they should be able to defend that, because the game starting in at 2 o'clock going into the night.
Right.
The ball seems around at the Sophisticated Stadium late in the night.
Right.
And so if you get 300 and you're chasing that, that is peer pressure.
No, Vernon, you talk about leadership. We're going to come back to that shortly. Are there any young players that you saw and show that we should keep our eyes on? Any young players that you you saw that, look, these are players for the future. Can you give me any names?
Let me say to you, Andrew, the talent pool of the West Indies Cricket Academy, we're full of talent. We've always had talent in the Caribbean. What I really think that we need, Andrew, is we really need to now fine-tune and have some people around who are going to be willing now to be able to take that crop of young players to the next level. And I say that very carefully. I want to see a Brian Lara or a Desmond Haynes or whoever, one of our greats, take the mantle and have them as mentors around the Ortiz, the Wickman, the Wickham, the McKenzie, because they got all the shots. No question about it. They have all the shots. What they don't have is the mindset and the hungriness to bat for long periods and convert those 30s and 40s into big scores. Now, this is a learning process for them. And I feel in order to be able to make that era grow, we need to be able to bring some mentors around them. I'm not saying to bring Clive Lloyd or Saviv or Phil Wallace and have them as coaches. I'm saying have them as mentors. And bring somebody like Brian Lara to teach them the art of batting. How you find the gaps, how you spend time at the crease, how you prepare mentally, how you go about organizing your innings. You know what I mean? They have more distractions now than when Brian Lara played. How do you deal with that? How do you manufacture that to understanding them? How do you build an inning? And when you go to practice, what are you practicing? Not for 10 and 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I see people today, Andrew, go to the nets and this is first class cricketers. This is the next step up, you know. And the preparation of people are batting for 10 and 15 minutes. You can't bat for 10 and 15 minutes, Andrew, into this cricket and expect to compete on the world stage.
Oh dear.
In fact, you're supposed to come and bat for 2 hours, take a break, come back again and bat for another 2 hours again in the afternoon, maybe take another half an hour break and then come back again and bat so that you can understand. So these players that we have in the academy team, the Ogis, the McKenzie, they look organized. They get to 20, 30, 40. They look beautiful. They get there, but they may be only back for 30 minutes. But once they get to into that zone, into that period of time, that's it. They got back into the pavilion. So our preparation mindset has to change. And we have to be able to be willing to bring the people like the Franklin Stevensons and the Joel Garners and the Andy Roberts around to mentor our young fast bowlers. I see some technical deficiencies in even our young fast bowlers. I look into the same academy team. Most of those guys are not using their non-bowling arm. The right-arm fast bowlers. It's almost dormant. Kelvin Pittman, he's got a young guy from Antigua and Barbuda. He's got rap pace, but his non-bowling arm is not being used. I think Naeem Young, he just kind of skated through the tournament. I don't think we really got the best out of a Naeem Young in this tournament. I think Naeem Young is an exciting young all-arounder. Was the captaincy too much for him? Let me say this again tonight on your program, Andrew. When you have academy teams as well, we need to be able to identify a pro to go with them. Let's bring in somebody and hold them. Whether it is a Carlos Brathwaite, whoever you identify, bring in somebody to guide them along so that they could be able to understand what the competition is going to be like. They will learn. Nine Young, I thought he was just thrown into the deep end. And yeah, you just say, oh yeah, go and captain the team because you play for the West Indies team. It has to be more than that. And I think we now need, we have a crisis, Andrew, when it comes in terms of leadership in the Caribbean, or captains. And that is another serious area that we really need to start to address.
Interesting. Just before you go, Vernon, in terms of captains, were you happy with the captaincy of Sheho? Was he tactically astute along with the other captains? I'm keen to know this. Let's start with Sheho.
I just want to say, Andrew, that because you play test cricket or because you're a senior team, member on the West Indies team, don't make you a good captain. And I think we're getting a little bit with that. And we feel for some particular reason that Sheila Wallace, he played for the West Indies team, so he's just going to captain. Leadership leadership comes with a number of responsibilities. And you must first identify a leader. And you have to be able to understand that. And it's not just because somebody played for the West Indies team doesn't mean that they're a good leader. And I find that that is one of the areas which the territorial boards will have to start to revisit to look again. I'm glad to see a Craig Brathwaite, who is the West Indies test captain, come and play as a normal player. That is something that I want to see maybe happening. And I want to say also that I thought that Nicholas Foran coming back from Australia, where we got knocked out in the first round, and indicating that he was not going to resign as the West Indies white ball captain. It was almost like an insult to Caribbean people. West Indies lost. The Caribbean people were hurting. The honourable thing that you do, based on Phil Simmons deciding that he was resigning and from West Indies duties, is that you as the captain say, listen, I will stand down as the white ball captain. If the board wanted to choose you after and say, okay, well, we will give you back the captaincy, so it. But then you come home and the Caribbean people are hurting and you decide that, hey, I'm not standing down. I'm going to continue. You got to understand how people feel. And you got to understand that the entire Caribbean is being hurt. That West Indies didn't need. There are people who paid huge sums of money to go to Australia to the West Indies team. And they never made it into the next round. So you got to understand that we were hurting. First time in the history of a very long time after being champions that we couldn't even get across the line. And so to come with that sort of attitude and just decide that, hey, I'm not resigning. I'm not coming down. I just thought that was, I didn't like that at all. Like I said to you, Andrew, if I was in, the honorable thing that I would have done would have been to step down as captain. And if the board wants to appoint you back as captain, so be it. But I didn't like that formula at all.
Well, Vernon, I want to thank you for coming through and talking to us. It's always a pleasure. And, of course, by next week, we'll know who is the winner of the CG Super 50. So we'll certainly have you on next week. Thanks for your contribution.
Hey, God bless you. Have a good one, Andrew. Oh. And let me say good night to I haven't seen Franklin Stevenson in a very long time. Good night, Frankie.
Vernon, good night. Good night to you, too. Lovely to hear you. Yep. You've mirrored a few points there. Almost all of them, actually. But totally my feelings as well. Anytime you take your test team away or your national team away and you've lost the series, your resignation should be on the table. It's up to the board to say, look, we're back here. We think that you're still doing a good job, you know, but don't come back and say that you don't even have a history in it. So you should really be humble enough to say, well, you know, I take the responsibility and I'm offering. The board doesn't have to accept it, but you should be able to offer it and say, you know, that I take responsibility. That's your national team.
Gentlemen, I've got a question for you. You're talking about Foran. Do you think that Desmond Haynes should have done the same thing too, Franklin?
I heard a statement that hello?
You heard the question, Frankie?
Oh, I saw it.
You're asking him if Desmond Haynes should have resigned as well?
Yes. That's a fair question.
It's a fair question, Andrew. But in fairness to Desmond Haynes, and I'm not trying to defend Desi. I think it is bigger than just Desmond Haynes. Why are we not acting for Jimmy Adams?
No, but I'm going to get to him. I'm asking you. I'm asking you, Vernon. Do you think that Desmond Haynes should have resigned? Should have offered his resignation?
No, I don't think the coach and the captain, that's the best team that they want.
But Vernon, you're stuttering. I've asked a simple question.
I said no.
And that is based on what?
When you said based on what do you mean?
You're saying that Desmond Hinge should not resign. But, okay, why are you saying that then?
Okay, so let me ask you back, Andrew. Is you sure? Are you asking for Desmond Hinge alone, or are you asking for the entire panel to resign?
All of them.
Okay. Yeah. So you feel like the entire panel...
Remember Desmond Hinge picked the team, and he also picked a Correa who hasn't played T20 for since 2016.
Uh-huh. So because he did that, you feel that he should have gone?
Well, I mean, he is the leader. I mean, he picked the side. All roads go to the prime minister, don't they? When things go wrong, isn't he the lead selector?
So he's the lead selector, Andrew. So Ricky Skerry should resign, though.
Oh, but I expected that too. Is he running? Is Mr. Skerry running again? I heard he is.
Andrew, you're amazing. You know, I love this type of person.
No, I mean the team failed miserably. The team failed miserably. I mean, it's an embarrassment to us. What happened in Australia? Don't you agree, Franklin? A complete embarrassment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
For Franklin, do you believe that Desmond Hinge should have resigned too?
Andrew, I believe that, you know, you look at players in the region and they're all standing saying, I should play. The player that's sick should go there and really perform. So I perform better for sure, but I'm really worried about their lack of preparation. I'm not saying because no matter who we put out there, it seems to be the same right now. So it's not a matter of, you know, you're picking the wrong person. Is there any good players to pick in a sense? You know, so I'm worried about the setup and the preparation of the players.
Right.
That doesn't suit our culture almost. You know, the African is way, way back. You can remember guys like Luther King and George Brathwaite. You know, you could go any part of Barbados and see cricket on a Sunday and just be enthralled and be amazed. And now you're seeing kids that are supposed to be practicing on a regular basis with coaches and all the latest uniforms and so on. Mm. And it looks as though we are sitting on a drawing board somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Or
I would just want to make a quick statement for sure. Though, look at this 50 over competition just now that we're playing right now.
Right.
England played, was it the Netherlands or was it Ireland, and posted 499 in 50 overs.
Right.
Right? And that was almost like a standard that they're trying to say that this is what they're going to be looking to do now. And that's the barrier now, the 400 to 450. In 50 over cricket. I mean, you still got youngsters here talking up dot balls. I mean, youngsters, you throw a ball to a youngster now learning cricket, he's going to swing the bat at it. And now we've got youngsters walking to a 50 over competition and thinking that 240 and 250 and 260 is a big score. No, I prefer seeing get rolled, playing shots, you know, rather than being stifled like that and not looking as though you got anything to bring forward, you know. So that's what we got to start preparing.
And you permit me to ask. Sure. Permit me to ask Franklin very quickly.
Sure.
Franklin, what do you think has gone wrong in the Caribbean? Why we are not producing, let's say, good batsmen or good bowlers?
Well, we always naturally have fast bowlers, but lately I've heard that every time a youngster starts to bowl pretty quickly, somebody ships them off to a fast bowling academy in Australia. I mean, I would thought that the West Indies are the best fast bowling academies, you know, the world has ever seen. So I don't know what's going on there to begin with, but really and truly, the demise of all cricket can be charted right back to the time when we started coaching and bringing in foreign coaches and over-coaching and that sort of stuff. So,
all right, gentlemen,
if you don't please the coach, you know, you're not going forward. And if you are not trying to do what the coach is saying in the net, then he's, you know, so when you get into the middle and you're not sure what's going on, it seems to be your fault. But if you're going to tell me you're in charge of a youngster, you're in charge of these kids or these players, and they're failing miserably, really and truly, that's where we got to start. Let the coaches hold their hands up and say, I am not the person for the job because he's still playing poorly or he's playing worse. You know, I understand that the Center of Excellence now, they're having charted programs trying to find out how to get through to our youngsters. And this is after 14 years of being opened in the Caribbean. Now they're coming and they're looking for a long-term plan.
Mm.
You know, who are these people? Do they understand our culture? Can we explain to them how to get through to the youngsters now in the space of time that is going to help that? They can help or help us get the best team or a one-day team or a T20 team in the next year or so. Mm.
Frank, hold your horses because we got to pause for a business cause. We want to thank you, Vernon, for coming through and talking to us. And when we come back, we're going to certainly open the lines for the next half an hour or so. All right, let's pause for a business cause. Mason and guests, brought in association with the very good friends at ASAP White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ASAP White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
All right, 7:30 in the country, your time to talk. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Yeah, hello, welcome.
Hello, welcome.
Yeah. What I want to say here is congratulations to England for winning the T20 World Cup.
Right.
Ben Stokes is going to the IPL side that Holder is with.
Yes.
And you understand, Rajasthan Royals have an interest in Holder, so for the other options, right?
Right. We'd have to do that, yes.
But Ben Stokes is definitely the best all-rounder in the world, cricket by far.
He's by far the best all-rounder in the world, by far.
Yeah, and he's talking about all kind of intensity pressure.
Tremendous.
So talk it up and then deal with it.
He was good.
And the things that you see him do on the field, he got to be the best. Whether batting, bowling, or feeling, and he's a student of the game as well.
He's tremendous student of the game. A brilliant performance from him. Okay, well, thanks for your contribution. We're going to try to get as many calls in as possible. Can we go? Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
This Tuesday evening at 6:15 on VOB and VOB929.com.
Listen, Andrew, I got a poem here. I'm going to read it quickly
But you know you must do better with that, you know, in trying to sound like a gentleman that you know.
Uh-huh. I'm trying.
But you're not doing well.
But I'm trying, I said I'm trying, man.
All right. Talk to me. You got a poem?
Yeah, it's called Ben Stokes.
Oh, Ben Stokes. Let's hear the poem.
No doubt about it. England are the champs at T20 cricket.
Mm.
Pakistan made a modest score, 138, no more. England was methodical away from home. They won the cup down under at Melbourne. It must be painful to Australia to see who England took over. Ben Stokes had his moment to retaliate. He didn't have to think about Carlos Brathwaite. He must have had a wake-up call. This win came from his bat, not his ball. That's it.
Mm, wonderfully said. Now, tomorrow Barbados, Barbados probably will play tomorrow against the Trinidad and the Big Red, who, by the way, the champions. Quickly, what do you expect from that game?
Barbados, I put it through with Barbados.
Is it because of your Bajan?
I think they've been playing better cricket the later they go to the tournament.
Oh,
you know?
So I think
they might even win the tournament too, you know?
You reckon? All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for your contribution. We're going to sneak some more calls in. Can we go back to the lines? We can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Mm.
Who's this? Hetmyer.
Oh, no. No, he's been retained. It's Hetmyer, Joseph, McCoy, Mayers, Narine, and Russell. All the others have gone through the Eddos, as we were saying, in Barbadian parlance. Are you surprised, though?
I really am surprised with West Indians not being, even Hetmyer. If he was gone to the Eddos, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
Because something's wrong with West Indian cricket thinking. These fellas got talent, but something is lacking. So I don't know if this decision will wake them up, because if you follow this, even in the normal BCA cricket, they believe hitting it out to the ground thing in cricket. So I hope that the decision that, that the IPL make will help them to start thinking. Because really, this program don't really cover certain areas of cricket that I expect it should. Because it's the only cricket program we have. And then I would like to ask you, this fellow Jones from Carlton, what his ball rate? Do you follow your fellow Jones from Carlton? That in the game at Kensington Oval against the Cobalt, he get 8 for 7. You follow him?
Left arm of the lock spin.
You feel that any bowler in this day should get 8 wickets for 7 runs? that gives you an idea of the problem that
yes,
he has.
Yes.
Now, what he was bowling with?
Eight wickets for 7 runs
at Kensington Oval. Not on the ground that then the wicket didn't prepare properly
right.
And things like that.
Mm.
So FBN understand the problems that we got investing in, right? And it's nothing to do with Desmond Haynes. Because you're number one man.
Who's that?
You know who's your number one man investing in cricket?
My number one man investing in cricket? You tell me.
Man that you work real hard to get in the position that you think.
Who's that?
You forget.
Is that Desmond Haynes?
Desmond Haynes? Do you want to get rid of Desmond Haynes for doing nothing? Desmond Haynes didn't do nothing?
Mm.
And you want to get rid of him?
Mm.
And the main man that you should get rid of, you ain't talking about?
Mm.
You know who that man is?
Who's that? Tell me.
The president of the United States Cricket Board of Control.
Why was that? But nobody was asked that just now.
You asked what?
Didn't you hear when Vernon Spring asked me about it?
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
My Wilkerson told me a couple of Fridays ago it got to be balanced.
Yes.
And it's praying to be balanced.
Mm.
Do you put pressure on this president like we put on the Cameron?
I put pressure on all presidents.
Do you put pressure on this president?
Yes.
I hear you're putting pressure on Desmond Haynes.
Mm.
That pick sellers that should bat, that refuse to bat.
Right.
I don't understand how you could put any pressure upon Desmond Haynes. That pick the best that Caribbean can produce right now. He can't make what we have. He could only pick what we have.
In fact, I'm getting now a WhatsApp message from all the way in Florida. Saying that Franklin Stevenson is doing a good job as his academy, but he should answer the question regarding Desi Haynes. Should he be sacked?
What I am saying is this. One member of that touring team that I believe should be there, and you call his name just now.
Who's that?
He should be there. I ain't got to go over the name. But what I'm saying is you can't blame Desi Haynes for the failure of that team.
Mm.
You can't.
Mm. Who should we blame then?
The president of the West Indies Cricket Board.
Ricky Skerritt, anybody else?
I believe that Desmond Haynes should give up the leadership of coach. I mean, as selector.
And become coach. Yes. Why though? Why would you want that for Desi?
Because of... and I believe, just that you hear in the news... Pollard can be a batting
yes.
coach or a player. What Pollard know about batting?
Oh, dear me. Lord.
Hitting the ball Pollard, hard for a long time.
Hitting Pollard the ball hard for a long time.
Pollard know about hitting the ball to the ground. He's going to...
And that's what he's going to be talking about.
We're talking about public or bat?
He's talking about hitting the ball to the ground. That's all he wants to do.
The position is saying, because we believe Pollard can't play in a sharp pitch bowling. Pollard is not Wednesday if they shot the ball.
Mm.
He could quote somebody in cricket.
Franklin, there's someone asking if you'd be interested in being a consultant with the West Indies team.
Mr. Mason, you have a good night.
Okay, Franklin, we're going to continue with our calls. It's 7:39 in the country. Franklin, someone is asking, could you ask Franklin Stevenson if he's interested in becoming a consultant with the West Indies team? Franklin, that is for you.
Is that a member of the board that posted that question, Andrew? Because it's just a really by nearly fly by night thing. And I have an academy. I am busy in cricket every single day, I would say. You know, we are open pretty much 6 days a week, and the day that we are not open, if somebody make a request, that we can do that as well, you know. So that's not a question that, you know, somebody should be really worried about being answered. I mean, No, man, we have a lot of answers here, but we don't, you know, asking the right questions.
All right.
We're not asking any questions. We're just saying no kids to the slaughter.
Yeah, okay. Let's try and take some more calls if we can. We can. Hello, 74 in the country. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, good evening. I saw the report in the newspaper that he was interested in the job as the coach.
Right.
And tonight on the program, he said he's not interested. So I just want to know the real truth behind it. Is he interested?
Frank Glynn?
Who's asking the question? I mean, you tell me that somebody is interested in me doing a job, I would then tell you whether I'm interested in the job or not. But this is a job that needs to be done. And if you ask me if I'm qualified for it, I'm probably the one that's probably overqualified.
Oh.
No, the one you can find that's overqualified.
Mm.
I had said that I don't want another West Indian, but after I heard that Franklin said he wanted the job, I said, well, the only person in the Caribbean that I would offer that job to is Franklin, and I'm saying that if he does say he wants it, that we would get behind the board and give him the job because he would deserve it.
But caller, so what did you see in the newspapers? What did you read? Franklin, what did you read that Franklin
said that Franklin Stevenson said that was interested in the coaching job? That's basically what I read.
And you read that in the papers, Franklin? Yeah. Were you misquoted?
I didn't actually read the article. I was seeing the article, but when I asked the question, I was asked that the job is up for grabs, I think, or whatever, you're interested.
Right.
And my statement was that I've never refused to help or assist in any form or format of all youthful development in the Caribbean, especially in the disciplines of cricket, golf, the lot, you know? So
personally,
that opens the door, then it is open.
Personally, the gap between January and March, I would bring in him to work with the teams during that period, and then whatever else happened after that happened. But I would get him involved in some way or another, because when I was doing my research on Franklin,
right,
there's a particular ball that he bowls that gets people out, and our bowlers don't have that skill.
And what is that ball? What is that ball, caller?
I think it was a in swinging York or something. Like that. I don't remember exactly what it was, but they were saying that he was bowling this type of ball and was getting a lot of wickets with it.
All right. Thanks for your contribution, because we're going to try and sneak as many calls in. Hello, can we go back to the telephones? Of course we can. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hi, good night, Mr. Mason.
Good night to you. How are you?
I'm fine, sir. This is Rohansson that you would have met at Spartan.
Rohansson. How are you, Rohansson? What a name to have, though. Where did you get that name from? Rohansson.
Ironically, my dad's name is Rohan, and I'm Rohansson.
Okay, fair enough. Your dad did a good job.
I've called to ask tonight, should Jonathan Carter play in the semi-final tomorrow?
Oh, that's a good question. Franklin, would you play Jonathan Carter in the semi-finals?
He'd have to bat at number 9 or 10 or somewhere down there, because he's always lost all his confidence in the bat. I think he's a little bit slow with that. He bowled beautifully. I mean, he was the one that actually pushed the academy team back, actually, and won that game for Barbados.
Yes.
But he showed the bowlers what they needed to do. You know, I think that a lot of our cricket right now is sitting on the planning table, but it's not being taken out onto the field. So that's something that the coaches got to be really aware of, that maybe they're asking the players to change too much, you know, to do things. But Jonathan Carter came and took the ball up and he bowled straight at the stump and got 5 wickets.
So therefore he's in your squad for tomorrow then, Frankie?
I'm not picking squads. I don't ever see the reserve. I didn't like the setup of the Barbados team. I don't understand what they really trying to do. We are a fast bowling nation, and we're not seeing any of that on the table in the team. But I smiled when I saw Vernon, Dr. Vernon, there. He mentioned that everything that he said was actually on point. But you asked him a question, and he went right into the fact that all bowlers are not using their non-bowling arm.
Right. Yeah. That's just
and that is something that is under my skin for a very long time. He mentioned Young Naeem Young, that he's just about kidding. And that's something that was discussed, that was taken to the table years ago, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And to show, I think this is a call for the young players that because somebody asked you to do something that you're not comfortable with, that doesn't mean that you are not comfortable, so I'm not going to do it. That's what coaching is about. You're putting an old head on young shoulders, and you're trying to position young men that even in their basic, they don't have to board at 90 miles an hour to be effective.
Right.
But you put your body in a good position, leading with your left shoulder. We are bipeds. You lead with your left shoulder, then the head is very steady when the right shoulder comes over. If you pull along with the right shoulder, mm-hmm. that head wants to hit the floor mm-hmm. before the ball comes out of your hand.
Mm-hmm.
And when the kids are young and trying to ball fast, that is a mistake that they're going to be making. So the coaches are going to be able to hone them back early o'clock and give them that comfortable aspect that then they can venture into, you know, other areas, you know. But if you're off balance already, then you'll be basically bowling basically, in a sense, to batsmen, then batsmen can exploit. Although they're not being exploited, because like I said, England right now have got a benchmark of 450 that they're looking at in 50 over cricket. And we in the Caribbean here, one team scored 300, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yes, caller?
Yeah, so I just that was my one question. I want to also encourage everyone on Instagram to follow Barbados Cricket Aficionado, where I follow the local elite cricket on the weekend.
Mm. Tell us a bit about that, though. What exactly do you do?
So basically, I attend the elite games on the weekend, and I do ball-by-ball highlights.
Right.
So when I get home, I upload them to the computer, and then I take out specific boundaries, catches, drop catches, appeals, wickets, everything like that. So the elite division on weekend, they have highlights basically. And I also do reviews of the current Barbados Pride games. And I'm about to do a preview, upload a post with a preview for the semi-final for tomorrow. And I'm not having Jonathan Carter in my 11.
I see. And you can quote Franklin Stevenson because he says he's about number 9 in your preview. Can you do that?
No. He's going to be probably 12th man in my preview.
12th man? Oh, dear. Yeah. All right. Thanks for your contribution. You're doing a good job. Can we continue to take some calls? 746. Let's go back to the telephones. Hello, welcome, Mason and guests.
Hello, and good night to you.
Good night to you. How are you?
I'm fine. Sorry, I'm doing well. Thanks very much. I appreciate that. Sorry about that noise. I heard Franklin Stevenson made a statement earlier in the foreground with reference to coaches not needed at the test stage, test level. And that's a statement, that's something that I've had for a long while. Because I believe that after coming through the junior stages, that's where the caution is needed. That's where it should be. Every kink should be taken out and dealt with then.
Mm.
When a player reaches the international level, especially test, I don't see the need for a coach. Need some strengthening managers or physios and psychologists, those kind of things. But I don't see the need for a coach. And I think that is part of the problem that's confusing the guys when they reach that stage. And the coaching is completely different from when they were juniors.
Very good point you're making. All right, just before we take another call, let me...
I want to make one more
sure,
thing.
Sure, of course.
Quickly.
Sure.
I just would like you guys at some point, you in particular, to dedicate a program to grassroots cricket.
To grassroots cricket?
Grassroots cricket here in Barbados, because I would like to come back and at some point and speak about grassroots cricket, and particularly the association of the BCA and BCL, or lack thereof.
We're certainly going to take that up. Can you leave your number with the producer so that
I can
get
that.
In contact with you? You may be very, very well be our special guest.
Well, I can if it's the right time, and I can do that.
All right. Do you get a chance to listen to the show often?
Yes, I do, but unfortunately, I don't get to call in often. That's another challenge. The last half an hour only of calls. Sometimes you don't even be half an hour. I don't think it's adequate time for callers, callers.
So you reckon that there should be some more calls than missing and guests?
Yes, and the your guests, your overseas guests and things that you have online prearranged, some of them could be a little shorter to make way for more callers.
Okay. Fair enough. So you want to hear more local calls?
Yes, thanks.
All right. Fair enough. I'm sure that Dr. Ford agrees with that. I see shaking his head, and I'm sure that Stricker's tenetry agrees with that as well.
Right. That's good. Thank you.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Let's take another call. It seems as if Ken Husbands agrees with that as well.
Why dost thou cause me to divulge by means of words my hidden griefs?
like that. All right. Let's take another call. Hello, welcome. Mason and Guess.
Thank you. All right. Yep. Have a good night.
Hello. Hello. You listen to your radio? Oh. Okay. Let's take a call. It's 10 minutes to the hour of 8 o'clock. We got 10 minutes left. Hello, welcome.
Yeah, Andrew, good night. I'm Dr. Ford.
Yeah, good night to you.
Yeah, last week I tell you that England will win. You work out and you laugh at me.
Yeah, I didn't laugh at you at all.
You know?
I never laughed at you at all.
So, no. But you never even called and congratulate me, man. You didn't even congratulate me, man. I said that I wanted Pakistan to beat New Zealand because I wanted to play the softest.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And Pakistan is an unpredictable side too.
It's very good. It's a number one side, but it's not consistent.
Right.
So I have to go forward. I know I can beat them. Huh?
Right. Fair enough.
And that happened. Okay.
Thank you for your contribution.
Yeah,
interesting point that Franklin Stevenson is making about the fast bowling, though, because I'm a little bit surprised, and I'm sure that Philo may comment on this. Jer McAllister from Wanderers. I would have thought that perhaps strategically we'd have used him to get wickets as a wicket-taking option. He's sharp, and I'm a little surprised he hasn't played. And I note with interest that a lot of spin has been used by Barbados, and I really thought that he should have been given an opportunity. I've seen him at Wanderers. I think he's got some pace, and maybe bowl him short spells, two or three overs to get wickets. Philo, you've seen this man. I know that you've got some time for him. McAllister from Wanderers.
Yes, Andrew. I of course, I can remember I went to Wanderers and I watched him.
Yes.
Roland Butcher. Spoke to Roland Butcher about it. And these are things that baffles me, is that you see talent. And sometimes people want to know if you think, what are you talking about? You're not wrong. You don't understand. But that guy is a talented player. And then you have to incorporate him into Barbados cricket and get the best out of him.
Mm.
There's this general feeling, the West Indian batters don't play spin bowling well. So there's a tendency to fool your team.
Right, with spinners.
Slow bowlers.
Mm.
Because they're looking at the slow bowlers to do the trick. But Andrew, pace causes problem.
It does, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of coaches. Master Drake, who's the head coach, is a fast bowler. So sometimes you wonder, are these decisions are team decisions? Or is just an individual saying, look, don't play him. I think that the young man should be given an opportunity because I think he can do well. He has the qualities that we're looking for a fast bowler.
Mm,
and then you take a guy on a tour and you don't give him a game, sometimes it affects him psychologically. He then has to come back to the country and go back into the nets and work. Whereas maybe giving him a run out in one or two games, you know, could give him the confidence that is needed. But I think that we need to be able to massage these fast bowlers into our cricket plans, into our bowling plans, and get them to understand their roles. When he's going to come in and when he's going to bowl, what lines he's going to bowl, what lengths he's going to bowl, on the different types of services against the different type of batters. But these fellas need to understand that they have a role to play. He has a role to play in Barbados cricket. Kemar Roach is going to leave our cricket shortly. We need to find a replacement. He's going to leave Barbados cricket shortly. He's maybe 34, I think. Maybe another year or 2 years playing county cricket as well. It's going to pull him down a bit because he works really hard when he comes up to England. So we need to find replacements. And I find that we are not doing it. Keon Harding and Shamar Hold have gone off the ball for one reason or the other through injury or they're just not the flavor of the week. That needs to be investigated as well. So when you got those type of players, those type of bowlers, you need to keep them together. And you will know it, Andrew.
Right.
When I played, we had Dean Maynard, Patterson Thompson.
Oh, good fast bowlers.
Hendy Bryan was always there. Even Vassar Drace, Otis Gibson.
Right.
So we had a group of fast bowlers.
Right.
And I think that the Barbados Cricket Association need to try and find a group of fast bowlers and keep them together so that when they're called upon, they're ready.
Right.
If we don't, I know Dexter Toppin is still down there. I think Robert Paris. So we need to find, and we need to, even if we have to bring in a Franklin Stephen or Stevenson or somebody to help.
Right.
Just trying to get these guys to understand the more intricate areas of bowling. so that when they do get selected, they're not afraid to play them. I think we're afraid to play that.
I agree.
But we're afraid to play them.
I agree. I mean, I strategically would have played him. I've seen him. He's got pace. And I would have certainly played him to try to get wickets. Because we sometimes devalue the importance, Phil, of getting wickets. You know, I mean, you know, you play
Pakistan
all these spinners.
Pakistan no showed it, Andrew.
Exactly.
Pakistan no showed it in Australia.
Yep.
The man called Harris Ralph.
Yes.
Run up on ball fast, frightening with pace. Pace makes you do funny things at the batter.
Yes, you're right. All right, fellow, we got another 5 minutes left on the show. Can we sneak a final call in? Can we do that? No, in fact, we got to pause for our business calls, and then we come back and we do a wrap.
ESA feel right round. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da, pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Focus on the Family.
Oh.
Comes to you on VOB 92.
Oh, that's a little premature there.
I think Dr. Ford is giving us some hints. He's saying focus on the Family 5 minutes early. But then again, you know, sometimes he does these things to us. Ken Husbands.
While I have the mic, I just want to say good evening to Philo and to wish you my condolences. Philo?
Thank you very much, Ken. It's nice to hear you, and I hope you continue to do a fantastic job. Your condolences are received with an open heart.
Yes.
Well, very well, sir.
Right. Dr. Ford, Focus on the Family, is that one of your favorite programs?
Well, I do get the beginning of Focus on the Family, especially. It's a Tuesday program, so. Mm.
Any final question?
Next in the back lineup after Mason.
Yes. Any final question for Frankie or for Philo before we go, Doc? Or any comments?
Well, I guess the real question in a sentence or two is, can we be rehabilitated to become significant in world cricket rather than, or are we destined to be minnows forever?
Mm.
So I'd like Philo to give us an answer in a sentence or two.
Philo?
Yes, Dr. Ford, I believe that we can rise again from where we are at. I take it calls for a wholehearted effort, starting from the territorial boards, getting the right people involved. And then once the right people are involved around those players and get them mentally and physically focused, I think then we are going to see our cricket rising again. But until then, we're going to find ourselves at the bottom of the ladder, because I don't think enough is being shown from that management area of cricket and our cricketers.
Right. Final words with you, Frankie?
Yes, Andrew. Like I said, I believe that cricket is ready for a new domination, right? And I think that we have got to do that again. We did it before, like I said, before we had television, cricket was introduced to us. And then we showed them a brand that they could never get enough of.
Mm.
Unfortunately, but that brand has waned. But I'm sure that the answers are still here in the Caribbean. So let's get smart and let's start answering those questions for these young men. And I believe that they've got something that they can take something onto the stage and be relevant once again.
Well, I want to thank you, Franklin Stevenson. A real pleasure having you on the show. And we're going to say Franklin Stevenson for head coach of the West Indies team. I'm sure that Dr. Ford would agree with that. You'll get the blessings of Philo Wallace and even Ken Husbands, who don't know a thing about cricket. Now, before I go, tomorrow, Barbados Pride up against the defending champions, Trinidad and Tobago Red Force. That game starts at 2 o'clock tomorrow. And then on...
1 point, Andrew. Can I make 1 point
to you? Quickly.
I think that Springer is back in the first five.
You think Shamar Springer...
I think he's underrated with the bat in his hand. He needs a little bit of work with the ball again. But he's still got some pace. And I think that he's... exciting prospect. You should bat in the first five. I think that his batting is underrated.
I agree with that. And in fact, I had to send a note to them and ask them why he wasn't playing, because, as you know, he didn't start. So thanks, Franklin Stevenson. Good observation. And then, of course, on Thursday, Jamaica Scorpions up against the Guyana Harpy Eagles. That game starts at 2 o'clock. And of course, next week we'll be in a position to do a complete assessment of the CG Super 50. I'm Andrew Mason. Here's hoping for a bright tomorrow. It's good night.